think about your day. What part of it was focused outwardly, meaning who can I give my life to, as opposed to how can I enjoy the next thing? Our soul, the essence of our being, will never be satisfied unless it is actively revealing itself, its light, outwardly.
Welcome to Spiritually Hungry.
So excited to be able to spend this time with you, Monica.
Yeah, like I always say.
It's been a while. What?
Let's see how you feel when we're done. No, it has been a while.
I always feel better after we're done.
Oh, good. I'll remind you. Just kidding. It is nice to be back here. It's interesting. We went back and forth about what we wanted to talk about today. And then as it turns out, where we landed was exactly our conversation yesterday. I don't think that was intentional, but everything I'm thinking about sharing today is exactly what I was going through yesterday. Oddly enough, it kind of came out of nowhere. I think partly because we've had a month of holidays and really focused on giving energy and consciousness and talks to thousands of people. And so, you know, you kind of have to stop your normal day-to-day life to focus on what is immediate and urgent, which was that. And then yesterday was our first like full day back leading into like a full week. And I felt really overwhelmed by all the things that I had neglected. And then, so I do what I usually do, which is shave hours off my sleep time, which is not recommended. And I don't do it so much anymore, but
The good thing is when you shave off time, your sleep time, it winds up influencing shaving time off my sleep time.
Well, you always go back to sleep though.
Not true.
So yeah, last night was a 5-hour sleep night. I don't really do that anymore, but I did wake up and study and I felt really inspired. But the point of this whole story is that it really made me think about how am I spending my time? What am I busy with? And we're devoting a whole episode on what is the right kind of busy.
And I think you said something really important.
I love when you think that. That's great.
It's very often. I wonder, not so much wonder, but really ask our listeners to ask themselves this question. If you take a day in your life, a week in your life, a month in your life, what is it that you're spending time on? And I think we can separate life into two categories. One, important. Important doesn't mean it has to be something you're doing, you know, you're saving the world, but it does mean you're giving your kids energy, you're giving your spouse energy, you're creating, you're doing it, maybe you're saving the world too, right? And then there's all the rest, right? Which is not productive, meaning it's not just productive for the world, and even productive for yourself, right? How much time do you spend worrying, upset, thinking about what,
comparing?
You know? And this actually was the inspiration for comparing. This is, I think, an inspiration for this podcast, that we meet so often people who have so much drama from the outside looking in. They're having drama about silly things, but because that's what they're focused on. And maybe there isn't other more important things going on in their lives, or they're not devoting more time to more important things. So I think even before we share some of maybe tools and understandings for each of us to make sure that our days, weeks, and months are spent on the important things or the productive things, is to really take the moment to really ask yourself the question. Yesterday, what percent of your day was spent productive? Productive, as we said, is a whole gamut of things, from really doing important things, you know, being creative, creating, sharing, giving love, care. And what percent of your day was spent either in thought or anger or disappointment or conversation around, you know, drama, negativity, or just not positive?
So here's the thing, is I gave it a lot of thought over the last 24 hours, and I was really happy by the end of yesterday, even though it wasn't a fun day for me. I was really happy that I had that day yesterday because it kind of reset me. And also I was really surprised to have the day I had yesterday because I just spent a whole month on, you know, my new year, my new self, and feeling really inspired. And then the first day back to kind of reality, it's like, whoa, where did this come from? This isn't the new person I was talking about, right? So a lot of old things came up, and I'm so grateful for that because I really got clarity. And I think I just want to rephrase kind of what you said, because I 100% agree in being busy with the right things, right? Because sometimes we get confused as to what that is. The right things are anything that's eternal. It's anything that will leave a lasting imprint on a person, on a place.
Or on yourself.
Or on yourself, where you've become an evolved level of version of who you're supposed to be. So, for instance, I know in a lot of people's kind of view of importance in their life, it's to be a good parent. But a lot of time parenting is spent on, you know, yelling at your kids or wanting them to be perfect or
being upset,
polite, or, you know, feeling slighted or disrespected, or even taking them to soccer practice and then ballet practice, and you're rushing and you're yelling and you're spread thin. But in your heart, your desire is to be a good parent. But what are you imparting on them, right? And I shared this with you before, because I think it's such a powerful example. A friend of mine who's Korean, and he's an immigrant, and his parents like sacrificed so much their entire lives to give him a good life, right? And now he is very successful and he's creating his own business, and they're super proud of him. But he said to me, you know, I love my parents and I owe them everything because they sacrificed so much, but I don't have a connection with them because we didn't spend time creating memories or doing things that imprinted upon me, right? That stayed with me. So I think what we're talking about.
I don't mean to cut you off, but every time I say something really profound, I really want to make sure our listeners take the time to really, because we don't share this to, you know, to simply inspire. We hope to create change, right? And I think it's true for so many people that the goals are right and the actions actually are in line with the goals, but they don't reach the desired outcome, right? Which is kind of crazy. Like, I think that's the perfect example. And I think all of us, certainly those of us who are parents, can really relate to that, where you want to be, you know, of course there are those, unfortunately, who don't have that desire to be a good parent, but those who desire to be a good parent, for example, and invest so much time and effort, but too often it doesn't lead to the effect that they wanted. Like if you, I'm sure if you sat down your friend's parents and you said, do you want to have a deep connection with your child? They would say, of course, our entire lives are just dedicated, right? And we sacrifice so much just because we love him and care for him so much. But in that process, because maybe they weren't questioning themselves enough, they wound up doing a lot in the right direction, but missing a lot of the outcome that they were hoping for.
Yeah, he's not tethered to them in any way. You know, it was really a profound, interesting conversation that made me look at that as a great model for many things. The other part of how we spend our time is right, busy with comparison and lack. And we're going to get to, there is one, and I don't want to give it away yet, but there is only one reason why we do that. Only one reason. Which I want to get to. So,
meaning in
that is the cause for why we allow ourselves to be busy with the wrong things.
Yeah.
Right. There's a quote by Eleanor Roosevelt. It's one of my favorites. Great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, small minds discuss people. And it's not about our minds so much. It's really, what does this quote for me represent? It's where we put our energy and our emphasis. And again, we'll say why we do that, but I think it's just a good question that all of us to ask ourselves, you know, where do we spend most of our time, energy, words, thoughts, in which one of those categories?
Yeah. And I think, again, something you shared with me recently, which I thought was so interesting, that you were sharing with me that there's somebody you know who called you for advice because they were having drama with somebody else in their life. And it inspired both you and I in that this person clearly cares about that relationship, but their behavior and reaction is actually destroying it. And all that drama around it is not having a positive effect, but rather the opposite effect, which is so interesting. You know, you see this in family dynamics, you see this in relationships, you see this in friendships, that the goal is the right goal, right? I care so much about this relationship, but we get involved in the drama of it sometimes. This person slighted me, or I think that he or she slighted me, or they didn't behave in the way that I wanted.
Or we can't admit we're wrong in an argument, so we have to blame them and look back at all the ways they were wrong in the past. I mean, you see that a lot. The interesting thing of what you're saying is the only thing that, because I was very patient, it was a good 45 minutes, And then I finally said, you can do this that you're spewing to me, right? You can say this to that person. And if you do, you can ensure that you don't have a relationship with them. And then she kind of like paused. She's like, well, no, that's not what I want at all. I do want a relationship with this person. I love this person. And then it was the only moment in the conversation. She's like, okay, so then what should I do? And I was like, okay, say you're sorry, because she was in the wrong. And then she's like, but what about my feelings? I'm like, say you're sorry, period. And then you can say, the part that really hurt me is when I do something that upsets you, you do this, and that shuts me down, right? There's always space for that. But it's interesting, because bottom line is, what is the goal, right? And I think that that example, what we're talking about today is, what is your goal in life? Not in terms of a vocation, and not in terms of, but like in terms of who you ultimately are destined to become, and how much of that you're able to do. So the wrong kind of busy, I think the worst kind is to be busy with nothing at all, right? Like nothing real at all, because we're kind of floating, going from day to day, routine. I as much as I like my routine, I loathe routine at the same time. Looking for the next thing that makes us feel good, that's a really big one of how people kind of navigate their day and where they put time and energy. And I shared this in a recent talk, but we need to change our mindset from what is life supposed to give me versus what am I supposed to give life? Because it's a completely different way of living. I think most of us, like, my life should be this, and life should be giving that, and that relationship should give me this, and that job should give me that. But what are you meant to give life? Which means, how are you meant to express yourself?
I think that's a really important point for our listeners to ask themselves the question, as you go through life, what are you trying to do? And the simple, truest answer is, and this is something, again, I'm not sure, well, more importantly, I'm hopefully asking our listeners to give thought to this goal. I'm meant to go through life being a source of light, which means everywhere I go, again, none of us are perfect, we're not meant to be perfect, but my life goal should be, as I progress through life, through time and space, and I meet people, and I spend time with people, and even if I don't, my goal is to be a revealer of light. You know, there's, as Monica mentioned, we've been giving lectures to many people over the past month, but one of my favorite ones that I shared, and because I quoted my favorite verse in the book of Isaiah, and it talks about what we're supposed to be in life. And Isaiah, in revealing the Creator's words, he says, and I'll share the Hebrew word because there is power in the original, Az yibaka kashachar orecha, your light will break forth like the dawn, like the light of the dawn. Mm-hmm. And I think that is probably the most profound way for each one of us to wake up in the morning and ask, what am I supposed to be today? My light is supposed to break forth like the dawn, to the world, to everybody that I meet. And if that's your driving principle, you behave differently. You become busy with different things than you would otherwise. And if I can go just a little bit deeper on the spiritual side of that, you know, there's a concept, and it's found in different traditions in different ways. In the Kabbalistic tradition, there's a concept called the 36 tzaddikim, or the 36 righteous souls that maintain this world, which means just by them being, even if they don't teach anybody anything, they don't interact even with people. By their existence, they are creating enough light at least to sustain our world so that it doesn't become destroyed. And on a deeper level, each one of us is that. So yes, there is the actions that this consciousness brings forth, which means if you really see, as I woke up this morning, my goal is to be a beacon of light that breaks forth into the world. Yes, that will be in my interactions with people, but it also will be just by me being in that consciousness, being in that state, being the light that I am all by myself is already, sending out that light to the world.
I was on somebody's podcast a few hours ago, actually, and we're talking about our children's book, the new one, Tale of the Other Glove.
Oh, by the way. So to all of our listeners, if you haven't yet bought Tale of the Other Glove for yourself, for your family, for every single person you know, pause the podcast right now. Go to Amazon or wherever you get your books and order a copy for yourself and for every single child, an adult that you know in your life.
It's
a very
really like
beautiful
it,
and inspiring story. But sorry for cutting you off.
Thank you. So she asked the question, why is it important to teach empathy? Because that's a big principle in the book. To children, and how does that impact their future? And I said, well, you're already setting them up to not just view the world as external. Like, what do they want from me? What am I supposed to do for them? How do they design like these expectations? And rather, you're connecting to the internal spark of yourself. Instead, you're looking at the whole world with curiosity. How can I help? How can I be of service? How can I hear that person? How can I see that person from a completely different place? Because unfortunately, the way, unless we learn these principles early on or at some point in our lives, of course, we see everything through lens of self. I like this. I don't like that. I desire that. I don't want this. And it's very removed from our world. But when you start to practice these characteristics or this changing of nature, right, which is really our true nature, the desire to share, the desire to impart truth, kindness, compassion, empathy, your whole world, it's the becoming of you ultimately. And that's how your light shines to everybody, a stranger in the street. I mean, I shared... That's why I love living in New York City, because you have to live with everybody. You know, there's a lot of people packed into a space. You commiserate with each other about the weather or about the traffic when the UN is going on here and you have to walk everywhere. You are part of a people, right? I think when we lived in California, for instance, you don't have to talk to anybody if you don't want. You're in your car and you're very selective about that, right? And that's just geography. But I think we live our lives that way unless we make a conscious choice not to.
Right. And actually, I think if you don't mind sharing, there's a story that happened, I think it was just a few days ago with you and Abigail, when you saw a parent behaving towards their child.
Yes.
Do you mind sharing the story? Even though, it's something I'd like to
but it was what
learn
I, I've,
from. And teach, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've shared, you know.
This happens to you relatively often.
It does, because I'm a
Abigail.
True empath and I'm always looking, I'm always watching because I'm curious, and I always, my desire in life is to connect with people, with all people. So I'm already, my approach to life is that, right? So we went to a corn maze, apple picking, pumpkin patch in Connecticut. It's just gorgeous. We try to do that every year. And, you know, it's busy. People come in from all over and, you know, there's porta potties. We were looking for one. It was just, we were on the search, right? And we see this boy, I recognize that he had special needs. Abigail, I don't think, did at first. And we couldn't tell if his parent was a foster parent or his parent. And the father looked like he was impaired somehow. I'm not really sure, but this boy picked up a rock and he was going to throw it. It was quite big. And the father like grabbed him and shook him. And the way the boy reacted, like he became very small and covered his face. You could tell that happens a lot, right? So I'm really upset and I'm in my head. I'm like, should I go over? If I say, it's that conversation that always happens to me. If I go over, right. Is the father going to be even angrier? You know, is it going to be worse for the child? Who's going to help them? Should I call social services? And then I look over and Abigail's crying hysterically. And she's like, we have to do something. You know, the two of us are like, well, what do we do? I'm not sure why you wanted to share this story.
No, I'll tell you what.
We were left in pain, to be honest.
Right.
And then we went back. We went to the porta potty. We went back to look and see if the boy was okay. The mother was there at that point, and there was the sister, and they were eating popcorn. And, you know, again, I question, like, you know, what do I do?
Right. So, but the reason I wanted you to share
because my point,
just going back to what we were saying before, which I think is really important, right? That if you, and I know you do what you can to really be that force in the world. Sometimes it's not about what you do. So my assessment of that situation is that it was you did the right choice by not making matters worse by going over and trying to reprimand the father. But you being there and seeing that and having that pain and empathy,
yeah,
brought light into the world, into that child's life. I don't know how it's going to manifest. I think it's really important to know that even in situations like
it
that.
Was even on the ride home, we talked about it when Abigail and I had three other conversations later that day. Like, did we do the right thing? Like, we just kept going at that. And I was like, okay, well, you know, maybe we should let's research ways we can help in this way in the world, you know, and see if we can go and volunteer somewhere, or maybe we should like research what's the best way to handle these situations. Like, it sparked even more curiosity, I think, and a desire to do.
And I'd like to go a little bit, one deep spiritual concept, but in the way that we interact with the light of the Creator, there's a concept called the sight of the Creator. When the Creator's looking at you, and I was thinking about it, when, you know, there's five ways we interact with people, right? We see, we hear, we smell, we speak, we act. Right, those are kind of five levels of interaction.
Touch, no, or is that not?
Action, right? And the one that you feel the least is sight, right? If somebody's smelling you, which is kind of weird, right? But if somebody's smelling you, you probably feel that. If somebody's listening to you, you kind of experience that. If somebody's talking to you, you experience that. If somebody's touching you, you experience that. But the highest level is sight. And it's seen as the highest level of revelation. So my point in your situation where you didn't take action, you just looked. There's light revealed by looking with love, with empathy, with care, with pain. Anyway,
I felt bad for the father too, I have to say. I felt bad for all, it was just pain. That's what it was. It was so much pain, you know?
And my point is that by living life in this way of seeing yourself as a person who needs to be a source of light into this world in whatever way one can, in whatever situation, sometimes it's just watching in pain. That's the way the life we're talking about living, as opposed to the one that gets busy in the wrong type of ways.
So I'm thinking if I should give away the one reason why we are busy with the wrong things, but I'm going to wait. I'm going to give you a few more teasers. So those are all the ways we're busy with really nothing at all. But then there's sometimes where we're busy with work, let's say, right? And your work can be purposeful. It can be stressful. But at the end of the day, if that's all you're busy with, you're going to miss out on the real reason why you were here, right? Like I often quote Bonnie Brown's book, The Five Regrets of the Dying, right? And one of the biggest ones was, I wish I had spent more time with my family, or I had cultivated friendships and less time in the office, right? And of course, there is an energy there in how we give in terms of our work. Let's say if we're doing something we love, or even for people who are just doing things that somebody needs to do, right? Whether it's, cleaning or driving a bus, like whatever it is, right? So I understand that, but I'm going to quote Dolly Parton now. I love her. She said, "Don't get so busy making a living that you forget to make a life." And I think that that's just really profound because, you know, we're all replaceable in our jobs, but we're irreplaceable to our children or to, you know, again, to whatever is eternal, whatever is rooted in truth. And you know, in some of my talks recently, I've been quoting Viktor Frankl, who wrote Man's Search for Meaning. He was in the Holocaust, and amazing book. I plan on reading it and rereading it every year. But his whole thing, a lot of what he talks about is the reason that he had survived and the ones that did survive that he knew, it's because they knew what their why was. When you have a why, you can endure anyhow, he said. Just so powerful.
And important to everything we're talking about, the why needs to be eternal.
Exactly.
Right? It can't be. And I think this
and
is
that's
really,
what he was, exactly. He didn't use that word, but that's exactly
because,
the point.
Again, one of the things that we see, unfortunately, is you see people at different stages in their lives when there really isn't a purpose that they're going towards, but it's okay, I'm enjoying this now. And what's the next thing that I'm going to enjoy? And what's the next thing? And those people often are the ones whose mind is, I was going to say emptier, but I guess we can use that word, but not empty because they're not smart, but just emptier because they're not
full.
Focusing on the eternal. And I think, again, I often like to do these questions for our listeners. And I do this for myself as well. Think about your day. What part of it was focused outwardly, meaning who can I give my light to, as opposed to how can I enjoy the next thing? And it's a little astonishing how many people don't really have that as a constant question and don't have that as a constant reality. And then they wonder why they're always needing to look for the next point or place of excitement or fun. But that's because, and I think this is an important understanding, our soul, the essence of our being, will never be satisfied unless it is actively revealing itself, its light, outwardly. So yes, it's, again, we're all for fun, you know, we're all for, you know, enjoying life and doing things that make me happy now. But that can't be the driving force of my life. And you will not find anybody who does not, well, let me put it this way, the happiest people, the most fulfilled people are going to be those, and hopefully we're inspiring our listeners to make this certainly a constant goal drive question, where every single day I make sure that I am outwardly revealing my light to others, to one other person, not just focused on me, my next, you know, hit of enjoyment or fun.
Well, as Maya Angelou said, people will forget what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. And again, that's tapped into what's eternal. So I think we're so busy with doing and doing and doing, we often forget about being. And in that being, that's where the real magic is. That's where we really touch the world, touch people's lives in a lasting way.
Right. And by again, to be clear, being literally means being a light upon somebody else, right?
Your true being, yes.
Right. Because again, sometimes you hear people say, you know, I want to, you know, be, yeah, you know, we've had this conversation recently. We say, I want to live my authentic life. And what that really basically meant, they want to go after every single selfish desire that they have, right?
Freedom, yeah.
But that's not really right. Your authentic self, your authentic self is that part of you that's like, oh my God, please, I cannot be happy. I cannot be fulfilled. I cannot be at peace unless I'm every single day revealing to somebody else, towards others. It could even be to my child, but a real light, right? A real lasting experience. Because I think, just going back to what you were saying before, there are many parents who say, what are you talking about? I wake up 6:30 in the morning to make my kids lunch. I take them to school. I don't get home till 8:30. I have to take care of the household.
My whole life is my kids.
But that's not the question. That's beautiful. And certainly that's a tremendous amount of responsibility. But that doesn't necessarily make your kids feel any different, right?
Yes. And I also want to say, because we talk about this a lot too, but I think a big thing is the comparison part. It's where we get stuck. And we can be too involved with what people are doing. And I think social media really supports that, right? There was a study.
Yeah, supports is a bad word. Damages in that direction.
So a study out of UC Davis, the average person spends, how many minutes a day do you think on social media?
The average person on social media.
It was
2 hours?
Average person. 145 minutes.
I was right. Close. Are you impressed?
I am. That's average. So I'm sure it's much higher than that. We already know how it fuels anxiety, depression, loneliness, FOMO, right? Fear of missing out, because we're watching this world or this life or this day that somebody's presenting. And it's usually their best day. It's not even a real day. It's an illusion. And we compare our own lives with that. So it's like, it's just another tool that the negative force in the world has to have us be worried about the wrong things or not even real things.
Right. And I think it's important to understand that is a constant battle. And the question I would ask our listeners to ask themselves is, how much time in a day do I spend looking outward, right? And involving myself in drama that has to do outside of me.
So that's all of, I think, the wrong kind of busy. The good kind of busy are things like sharing, investing in what's eternal, as we said, and yourself. So not self-care, but rather self-interest. So here is the one, like I said at the beginning,
self-interest can also be, right?
Well,
self-revelation.
Yeah. By self-interest, I mean, you're curious enough about who you can become and you're looking to be, you're actively working to become that person, right? I think we should be excited every day to meet who we will be. That's what I'm saying.
I think, which is related to another important understanding, which is, because we underestimate what we can be, we don't have that curiosity, right? If we understood how powerful each one of us can be, the impact that we're meant to have, then we'd be curious in that direction. But we don't believe that about ourselves.
Right.
And therefore, oh, well, let me focus on what that person's up to, or let me focus on how this person slighted me, and so on and so forth. But if you really, and this is, I think, one of my life missions in trying to awaken within people a truer, greater understanding of the impact that they can and are meant to have. And if you have that, then you can do what you said, which is be curious about how can I
every day meet me.
Meet me even more.
Here's the thing. So the number one reason people are busy with nothing at all or all the wrong things is because not only do they not see who they can become, they see themselves as lowly. And I think not all the time, of course, because we have egos, but when we're trying to do something that we really desire, or something really big, or those ways that we see other people doing things, like think about whoever you compare yourself to, what is it about them that inspires you, because that's really what the comparison is. And we only compare and we stay stuck there is because we don't think we'll ever be able to do that. So the number one reason is that we just don't think highly enough of ourselves. And the crazy thing is that if, like, because when you gave that story, the example from Isaiah, I closed my eyes and I actually like saw that, right? I felt that. If we could live every day of our lives with that vision of ourselves and knew it could happen, this wouldn't be such a hard thing to work towards. We just don't believe in our ability to be great.
Absolutely. And our power to influence.
And I feel like that's kind of like, I think, because I think about this often, of course, to different degrees, but why is it that we all have come into the world that way? Like, if we're meant to do great things, right? And the creator wants us to do those things, why is this such a big part of the struggle? I mean, but it's forget about even, yeah, okay, it's two degrees, but it's like, yeah, to think lowly even. It's not even like we're starting in a negative.
Yeah, because there's a, and this is, again, maybe we should do a whole podcast on this topic, which is, it's really important. But the ancient Kabbalists taught that every single day is a battle, and that we are destined to lose that battle without calling upon the assistance of the light of the creator. And so there's no static state, right? You are, if you wake up in the morning and do nothing to push forward the revelation of your light, everything we've spoken about until now, you're going to wind up at the end of the day feeling less of yourself, thinking less of yourself. That is actually the way the force of this world goes. Our job is to wake up in the morning and know two things. My light is going to shine forth like the breaking dawn, and I'm going to call upon the assistance of the light of the creator to be able to make that revelation happen.
So you have to know and you have to ask.
Yes, yes. Otherwise, you begin and you end every single day at a deficit.
Like Groundhog Day.
Absolutely. Well, worse than Groundhog Day, because Groundhog Day, he woke up to where he was. Here, you a person can, unless they are actively fighting. And this life is a battle. It can be a very joyous battle. But you have to, unless you know that, I think.
That's why I'm saying that song, Love is a Battlefield. But we'll say Life is a Battlefield.
You want to sing it?
No.
No?
Love is a battlefield.
There you go. Do you like that song?
No, I like the track. I like parts of it, but no.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Heartache, too hot. No, I don't actually. But I think I could dance to it. Anyway.
Right. Unless we understand that every single day is a battle, where there's no chance we're going to win the battle for that day. But on the other, so that to answer your question, why is it that we're naturally, or one could say naturally, or just by the force of the entropy of existence, will wind up every single day at a lower state than we began it? That's just the way the system is set up. The good news is we have the power to battle it, and we have the potential to be so much greater every single day. But like you said, we have to know that, and we have to ask for it.
Yeah, and I find, truly, we meet so many people. I find the people who never challenge that thought of, oh, I'm so low, I'm lowly, I'm not really deserving, I'm not enough. The people that buy into that more and don't challenge it are the ones that are the busiest with the wrong things.
Absolutely. And by the way, I think just in general, not that we should be looking outward ever. If you want to know who are the people, you know, that are both not, we'll say, fulfilling their purpose, but really not the kind of people you want to be around. The people who are always, always sharing with you the drama they're having with this person or that person, or the drama this person is that just means that they're losing the battle. And it's, you know, it's no judgment, but that's not the type of energy you want to be around.
Yeah, I mean, Thanksgiving's coming up soon enough. It's time to use these. No, but really to have empathy and compassion for them, but realize you can't, you know, you don't want to go down with the ship.
And more importantly, because we're always trying to be looking inward and making ourselves more powerful and better, to know that this has to be a constant question and a constant battle. You know, like you said in the beginning, what was I busy with today? Both in mind, in thought, in words and actions. And where was that eternal? Was that revealing my great light? Was that, you know, in things that are going to be lasting for my children, for my spouse, for my friends, for the world? And if not, make a better plan for tomorrow. But one thing I'll guarantee every single one of our listeners, that unless you are actively fighting, you are actively pushing yourself on a daily basis to busy yourself with people and things outside of yourself that are going to be eternal, you'll never be happy. You'll never be satisfied. You'll never be at peace because your soul doesn't, that's what your soul wants. That's all. And as long as we're busy with the other things, our soul will never be settled.
Because that's why we came.
Yep. Did you share, I forgot already. Did you share the one reason?
That was the one reason.
Which is?
We think lowly of ourselves.
Interesting. Right.
We just talked about it for like,
I know. I just didn't, but you didn't, yeah, you didn't, I needed a drum roll before that.
Dun, 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 dun. That is, I really do believe that. Because if you even had a taste of what you are, you'd want more of that. You know, you'd go after it.
Beautiful. So I hope we've inspired our listeners to become busy with the eternal things, with those thoughts, words, and actions that allow your light to shine as brightly every single day. And what I like, get excited when we do podcasts such as these is that I envision the thousands of our listeners, each one of them, because hopefully the inspiration from this episode, revealing that much more light. So our world has become more light-filled just by this episode, the two of us sitting here enjoying our time together. Mm-hmm. So as always, we hope you enjoyed listening to this podcast. I have to say, Monica, you asked me before we started this podcast. I am actually very happier that we spent this time together. So we hope you enjoyed listening to this podcast as much as we enjoyed recording it. And we are back in podcast mode. So make sure you send all of your comments, questions, stories, inspirations to Monica and Michael at spirituallyhungry.life. Monica and Michael at spirituallyhungry.life. Also, topics that you'd like us to cover, any questions that you have. As always, make sure you share this podcast with everybody you know. Make sure you go to Apple Podcasts and anywhere you get your podcast, give 5 stars, review. This is how this light and this podcast gets out to more people. And as always,
stay spiritually hungry.